We're back, Justin. Last of Us, Season 2, Episode 2 has aired. We've both watched it. Spoilers for the show. Spoilers for the game, The Last of Us Part 2. Spoilers for The Last of Us Part 1, both the season of television and the game. I've been playing it with Elena. Working on a video about it, and I was like, I should probably replay this. And Elena was like, can I be there for it? And I was like, certainly. Certainly. It's been a long time since we played that game together for the first time. It was 2019. I was telling her this. I bought a PlayStation to play The Last of Us with Elena.
Wow. And because you're still together? You survived that relationship?
It's true. So what happened was...
Over 5 years, right?
We're coming up on 6.
Your relationship is longer than Joel and Ellie knew each other.
Is that true? Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
That's...
She expressed that she wanted to watch me play a game. She wanted to watch me play Bioshock Infinite. And I thought she was just saying that as like a... You know, like when you first start dating someone, you kind of like... You're a little bit more interested in their hobbies.
I want to like play with Barbies.
Like you give them like, I'm invested in you and I want to see what the things you like are all about. Mm-hmm. And so we got done with that. And like, I never want to like have anyone be a captivated audience. You know, like I'm not trying to a captive audience rather. Like, I don't want to just say like, you're gonna watch me play video games now. I think that's kind of loser behavior to like, just like force someone to watch you play a video game. You know what I mean?
Like hold their eyelids open. You're watching this and you're going to like it.
Elena like said she wanted to, and I was like, okay, sure. And then we got done with that, and I was like, great, that was a fun experiment. I hope that was enriching for you. I'm like, just letting you know, I'm setting you free. You never have to do that again. And she's like, well, I want to see more. And I was like, what? Really? And she's like, yeah. Are there other ones that are like this? And I was like, yeah. And so I bought a PlayStation. So I was like, you'll like The Last of Us. Episode 2, Justin, has aired. You've seen it, I've seen it. What did you think?
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I feel I don't know the words. If Joel sang it, I'd get it. There you go. Oh, that's better. You got that.
That's how he sounds in the actual singer.
How did Ashley Johnson sound?
Great. I mean, it was just the cover that's been on Spotify for like 6 years. I was like, oh yeah, I've heard this before. What did you think of the episode?
I liked it much a lot. I think this was like an episode where like a lot of the changes that they made in the first one kind of like culminated. Like, we're on two different paths now, and the two basic paths are getting to know Abby versus not knowing Abby.
Yeah.
And so in the game, you don't really get to know Abby until
like halfway.
Till halfway through, when you get to control her for the first time.
Yeah.
In this one, it seems like their intention is for us to not only know very overtly and obviously what Abby's intentions are when you first meet her, but it's to make, I don't want to say create empathy, but create connection with the character in the group that you do not get in the actual video game. And they want to create that connection a little bit more for the TV show. And I'm trying to think, like, do I think it needs to happen? Yes. I think the video game itself survives. And I think some people even reject what happens in that second moment. Like, they have that moment when you're playing the game and you realize you open that upgrade tree, right?
Yeah, gosh,
and you realize
it's a whole...
you don't have that ability in a TV show to do that.
Right.
And not only that, I don't think... I know you're supposed to, like, trust your audience, but audiences are stupid. They're, you know... I don't think you have the ability to start season 3 with Abby and a new set of characters that have been created as being villains in the other one and not have a connection with them before you just drop them in that story and start with that story, which I'm pretty sure is the direction they're going to be going.
Yes. So I agree that you have to do something, because I don't think it works to just have it end on the cliffhanger and then have season 3 pick up and it's like, Abby now.
Yeah. Or like 3 days earlier, like that won't.
Yeah.
That won't.
I don't think it works, especially because season 3 doesn't come out for you know what I mean? Like, what, is it going to be another 2 years, you know, of wait, or a year?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? But like with HBO, like who knows,
well,
right?
I'm looking at what's Pedro Pascal's shooting schedule. He might be a little busy. And I don't know if we can get him in for the filming of season three as much as he needs to be in there.
I assume they have to have filmed it all, right?
Oh, maybe.
I'm assuming
like there's.
But my problem is this. You are right that audiences are like a little dumb, right? Like you have to like play like. I don't think so though. I think that yes, you are going to have to treat it differently than you would treat the story in the game. But I think that the way it is being handled in the show makes me think that the showrunners and the writers think I'm unintelligent. You know what I mean? Like I do think that there is a way to tell this story in a different way, by framing it differently, by having Abby be introduced in a different way or something like that. But like the way that they are doing it, I think just feels so clunky and awkward by having that. I hated the opening scene of this episode where she's walking down the hall and then you have like current day Abby being like, don't go in there. His brains are on the wall. Like, all right, man. Like, I get it. Like, you know what else would have been a way of conveying the same thing? Having her go in there. You know what I mean? And we don't even need to see her reaction to it. We could hear it, right? Have her just go in and then we hear her reaction to seeing all of that or whatever, right? You know, here's an idea. In the game, she goes in there and then Owen is like, hey, don't, like, please leave. Please leave. You don't not want to see this. You know what I mean? Like, you could do that, something like that.
I do think they are going to do
changes.
That.
I'm
do
not
think they're
going to
do that.
But
so,
yeah, but why then, like, why dumb it down so much for everyone? You know what I mean? Like,
I think it
feels like it's the exact same thing and the exact same problem that you had and I had with the last episode that opens with her explicitly stating her motivations and what she wants to do. She's, I'm going to kill Joe Miller and I'm going to make him suffer because he killed my father. Like, that sucks. And then she does the exact same thing in front of him. You know what I mean? Like, where she's like, do you remember all of these people you killed? And he's like, rrr. And she's like, because that guy was my dad. It's like, all right, yeah, we know, you know.
But I think the thing that I definitely agree with you about that with the flashback at the beginning is I think the dialogue was a little bit ick. But I think at this point, we're still supposed to be a little conflicted with her as a character. I think if you led with the scene that you get, and I'm pretty sure in the game, those flashbacks that she have are all done between days, right? They're like nightmares she has between days.
Yeah, and it's later. It's when you are playing as her. I don't think it's bad to bring those in right now.
Well, no,
for the record.
But if you bring in that moment her seeing her dad, I understand that, but I don't think at this point the empathy angle is where we're going to be going until we see her reacting to what she did to Joel and what happened in Jackson.
We don't know yet because we haven't seen the rest of the season, right? I absolutely disagree based on the way that they talk about this in all of the making of stuff. We're already like, here's the thing. This series has not given me a reason to see Abby as an anti-hero, right? Or as a protagonist in any way, shape or form. So far, she is exclusively a villain, right? She just shows up and
right.
She like a sympathetic villain, but already in the making of stuff, you have Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann talking about like Abby is this, you know, she's also a protagonist. And if you notice that, you know, the way she feels about Joel is kind of how Ellie feels now that Joel's dead. That's really makes you think, doesn't it? I'm like, yes, like I get that, but the show has not conveyed that at all. You know, you know what I mean?
Well, like, I don't think at this point that's necessarily their goal with it, because I think like I don't think they're building towards that empathy part of her quite yet. We are getting to know her story and her motivations at this point. And you kind of get a little bit of, she's kind of fucked up with how her friends are treating her. That scene that they added with Owen, like coming up with the plan to the friends. And he's basically like, yeah, the plan is to get her the fuck out of here because this is stupid, right? Like that scene starts to create this dissent in the group that she is clearly kind of going off the rails with this. And that if they listen to her and they continue doing stuff, like she's going to end up dying. And not just she, the whole group is going to end up dying. Yeah. Ironic. And I don't think she's meant to be necessarily sympathetic yet. She's meant to be like into that place of just being angered and hurt. And I don't think they showing her emotionally distraught, seeing her dad in that scene. I don't think they want to make the parallel between that and what happens with Joel yet. And I think that is a specific scene that would be better suited as a flashback rather than a nightmare, because that's when we'll start to feel more empathy towards her, to see like how like she reacts to that and that thing with Owen coming in there and everything. Like I don't disagree that you're wrong. Like, I don't think you're wrong with that, but I think at this point they're still not trying to make her a hero. And they don't want to make her overly sympathetic. And the thing that my wife keeps saying as she's watching this is that it's complicated, because she understands why she's pissed. She understands why she kills Joel.
Yeah.
Was it the right thing to do? And she'll just say it's layered. You know, like she'll keep going back to saying it's layered. And she said the same thing about Joel at the end of season one. Like, did he do the right thing? She said, well, it's layered, right? And
yeah.
I think at this point, Abby's still so new to us, and I think the way the narrative is, at least based on the season like clips that we see, they are either going to like present day talk about Seattle and some of the experience there, or they're going to do the flashback about that 5 years. And I don't know where the right place to place it is, and that's one of the things that I'm still kind of fascinated by as we're kind of going through, because as I said last week, I don't know where they're going, but so far with where they're going with this, there is at least a plan that I see them going through with it. And it's different from the game specifically. I'm actually surprised at how similar this was to the game, with the exception of the Jackson stuff. There was a lot more similarities than I was expecting during this whole scene. But that's not in terms of like the changes seem to be mostly coming from the, linearity of it. Of how they're ordering the story bits, not with how they are rewriting the story bits.
Yeah, my problem is that I think that the ordering of these story bits does the story a disservice. We talked about this a little bit last week about like, well, we don't know where it's going. Obviously, they're telling it a little bit more linearly than they do in the game. That could pay off. It might not. Who knows? But for me, now that we're two episodes in, I'm like, I'm already seeing that this is a less interesting way of presenting this story. Because it is more straightforward, and there you have way more answers, and you are dissolving all of this interesting subtext. Because we talked about this last time about how like Joel and Ellie don't talk at the beginning of this game really at all, but there's this clear rift there, and everyone is commenting on it. And they're kind of like, Ellie, like, is everything okay? And she's like, it's fine, whatever. And then she sort of opens up to Dina about it a little bit, but like, she does not explicitly tell everyone exactly how she's feeling. And Joel does not explicitly tell everyone how he's feeling about all this stuff. And like, it removes this nuance of the question of like, well, why? And what happened to this relationship that seemed to be so strong? And I think that's the interesting stuff about this that is missing for me.
I don't know if that's true, though, because we still don't know why they have this rift.
That is correct, but it is so explicitly stated how everyone is feeling that it makes it a lot less interesting, in my opinion. And like, okay, you know, you texted me, or we were texting about like when she says to like Owen, like, we fixed it, we patched it up, it's fine. And then like she's like, can you please stop asking me about this? I was like, yeah, whatever. And it's like, you know, obviously we've played the game, so we know like, okay, so she definitely went back and him on the porch. It's just like a clunky way of delivering this stuff, in my opinion. And then same thing with Abby, right? I think that it is interesting to have it be like, Ellie never learns why Abby comes and kills Joel. She never learns it. Maybe she does later. You know what I mean? In at some point, maybe when, like, Tommy tells her, no, he doesn't. Cause she's knocked out when it all goes down. But like, there's this whole question of just like, why did this happen? And she's like, I don't know, but I'm going to go fucking kill them, you know? And then she sort of starts piecing together, oh, they were fireflies, this. But she never like hears it from Abby or anything like that. And so like the audience then doesn't really learn about that until later either. And so I think that there is this interesting dynamic that happens in the first half of that game there, where there is this question about like, who are these people and what did they want? And by having Abby explicitly state her motivation and all that, like three times over the course of two episodes, I think it falls flat. And I think it removes a lot of like interest and intrigue in her character and in the premise of this by and large.
I just think it's all accelerated to a certain degree because you don't have that moment. And instead of like waiting to develop that until season three, I just see them doing it concurrently because,
but it's not developed, right? I mean, it's like just explicitly stated, you know what I'm saying? Like I get the idea of course, yes, they don't want to just drop you in because it works differently in a game than it does in television or whatever. But I think it doesn't not feel like clunky and awkward and like,
but her
crowbarred into you.
Both of their stories don't start till after Joel's dead.
What do you mean?
In the game. So like when the beginning of this game technically is after Joel's died. That's the initial incident of this game. It's the thing that kind of moves things forward, right? Yeah. Both for Ellie to go to Seattle and to get revenge for Joel. And then for Abby, the game starts on day one in Seattle after she has killed Joel and goes back. You pick up with her after she's already done this. Yeah. So what I think they're going to do is at this point, the only thing they have to develop with her is she's pissed about her dad and wants to kill Joel. That is her exposition for her character. Then they are going to develop the layers to that as they start to introduce her and like weave that stuff. And how far are they going to go with it in terms of like getting to a place where we know her better? Are we going to get day one of Seattle at the same time for both of them concurrently?
I
don't know the answer to that, which I'm still interested to see. And I think a lot of this does have to like depend with when I'm really trying to evaluate the game versus the show and what they're doing with it. I think that's something I'm going to have to wait to see if I like their interpretation better or different or whatever. I think on its own, though, it makes sense to me of where they're going. If I'm taking the TV show away from the game, I think the story is going it. I see the path that they're going with it.
Sure.
Is it better? I don't think so necessarily. I think I would agree that I think this is going to sound whatever. The dialogue for Abby specifically in the two flashbacks at the beginning of each episode is not great. But I would say one of the things that with The Last of Us, I don't go in expecting these like deep and rich monologues. I expect complicated characters, and this is even in the games. I expect complicated characters put in complicated situations and dealing with those situations and sometimes not being able to verbalize what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. I, going back to this episode, really did enjoy Abby talking to Joel. And not so much because I thought it was like written fantastically, but I liked how her pain was being shown and how that was influencing the people around her. They, like, that was the scene where they started to build a lot of dissent in the group with where the factions were a little bit and how they were showing some of their reactions to it. I mean, the whole time, Owen looks horrified. In the game, he's much more overtly like, don't kill. We're not going to kill her. We only came to kill him. Yeah. We've done it, whatever. In this one, he kind of says end it and like moving along with it. He doesn't necessarily say that in the same way, but like you can tell the whole time he is like, this is fucked up, Abby. I don't think you're doing the right thing. And I think that's like the characters reacting to that. And then you had some of the other characters who are kind of nodding along with Abby being like, yeah, you're kind of right. Like, like he deserves to die and he deserves to that. Like, I think that monologue helps to serve those other characters to develop them a little bit better sooner than when we get to see them get killed by Ellie.
Yeah. I I disagree. I mean, like, I don't think the performances are there. I don't think the writing is there. I think it's directed very badly. I think, like, there is something so sinister. And here's the thing. I know that people are like, we'll judge it on its own. And I am judging it on its own. But then I'm also saying, like, you know what a great way to have filmed this would have been? If you did it like the game did. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, like, it needs to be one-to-one. But for me, the thing is, if you are going to change something, I think it needs to be in service of something else. So, like, you know, like, great example of this, change the whole Bill and Frank thing. Yeah, that me and Elena have been replaying Last of Us Part 1. That thing is, if you adapted that for TV beat for beat, it would have been boring. It would have been just another episode of the show. Instead, they changed something so that it fit with the themes of the show, right? It added something to the story that was not there in the original thing. And I think that's amazing. With this, like, you look at the way that that game handles her torturing him and the way it handles his death and the way it's portrayed through direction, through camera shots and things like that, through lighting and environment design and stuff like that. It's like this damp, dark, blue, nasty scene because you're in this basement in the middle of this snowstorm. You know what I mean? And like there's blood everywhere and there's grime on everything. And it's clear that Abby is taking this like sick fascination with all of this. Whereas in the show, it's happening like in this like really well-lit, empty room. And like you're just getting all of these wide shots of everyone. And like Abby doesn't, in my opinion, come across particularly menacing because of just like the way that she's being shot and filmed. And to me, that does a lot to, like, Elena was asking me, she hasn't seen it yet, but she's like, do you like Caitlin Dever's performance as Abby? And I was like, I do a little bit. But the thing that's lacking to me is there's more that goes into characterization than just an actor. Caitlin Dever is doing a fine job, but I think the script is bad. Caitlin Dever is doing a fine job, but I think filming her by just like standing in the center of a room with just like super like flat wide angle of everyone just does a disservice to how the scene is meant to make you feel through camera work and things like that. And like, I was really, really surprised by how, to me, this TV show feels like it is. If I saw this on YouTube, I would be like, wow, you guys fucking killed it. Remember that Uncharted Nathan Fillion YouTube short film they did? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Because it's just like, it's a bunch of amateur filmmakers who went out and like fucking hired Nathan Fillion for a 15-minute Uncharted short. And it does some of like third-person video game shooting stuff. And it's like eye-rolly, but it's cute because you're like, well, you guys are like, these are like amateur filmmakers making something that they're passionate about. You know what I mean? And it looks like it's a cosplay film, but it's cool because it's like, you guys really put some thought into this and whatever. But then when you are watching an HBO television show produced by and created by the creators of the game and all that sort of stuff, it just feels different because you're like, I'm expecting a level of like quality to this that in my opinion just isn't there in terms of like the filmmaking of this. And like, to me, that's where this scene is let down the most, because, OK, if Abby's going to monologue exactly who she is and all this stuff to Joel in a really clunky way, whatever. But can you make her menacing? And by having her just standing in the middle of noon, just like normal light and having this completely like nearly bloodless death with Joel, I find to be just like. The thing about Joel being tortured and killed is it's really gross and nasty in the game. When Ellie is like looking at him and his face is all fucked up and stuff, it's really like upsetting to look at. Do you know what I mean? Like his eyes all swollen. He's covered in blood. He can't really breathe. You can't really tell. Like he's not a person who is going to live. And it's really upsetting to look at, but you can't look away. Whereas in this, she shoots him in the knee and it's bloodless. You know what I mean? Like she's torturing him with this thing and like, you're in this well-lit room. You should be able to see all of the horror that is happening to him. And, you know, they put the eye prosthetic on in the making of section. They talk a lot about the eye prosthetic and like, yeah, it looks good. But like, do you understand what I'm getting at with all of this?
The
whole scene doesn't work for me from like every aspect of it.
I don't agree with the necessarily the directing aspect of it or even the dialogue aspect of it. And like, mm-hmm. I mean, I like even to like today, one of the things I was doing is I was looking at a lot of like by like scene by scene, side by side things. And I'm still going to stick on the fact that there is more in common than there is different between those two scenes. The changes happen. I mean, even the whole torturing part of him, she does not spend that much time torturing him. The initial part happens with, she gets the golf club, smacks him across the head, and it's a blackout. And then we cut to Ellie at that point. As Ellie's going through the house, that part's a little bit longer as you're like kind of going through the house, you're hearing the screaming. And then it's almost the same thing when she busts through the door, shoots, all that stuff is pretty much the same. And I think even further, they linger on those shots way more in the TV show than they do in the game. The game itself happens pretty quick. And one of the things that I think they do really like, almost like a really heartbreaking thing. And they talked a little bit about this, and it was actually before they even talked about it on, like, I don't know if it was the podcast or the after thing that I listened to. Mm-hmm. Claire mentioned it about how when she said to get up, he like was struggling to get up. And I watched the game again to see if they did something as similar as that. He doesn't.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
And like, that's a powerful moment, because in that moment, like, he can't get up. He knows he can't get up. He's done. He's already accepted the fact that his past has come back with to him. He's going to die. But then he sees Ellie, the one person who would like get him to get up. And he tries, but he can't. He physically is not able to do it. And then it doesn't matter, because then he's dead.
I agree. I think that's fine. That's like, sure, that's fine. I think that this is another problem I have with this scene. And, you know, actors are going to handle these sorts of things differently, right? The version of Ellie that Bella Ramsey is playing is different from the one that Ashley Johnson played. I far prefer the one Ashley Johnson plays. That's just my personal perspective and opinion. But like one of the this is a great scene to explain why, because again, it's through subtext, through performance. When Ashley Johnson is telling Joel to get up, let me flip it. Actually, when Bella Ramsey is telling Joel, get up, she's crying, saying, get up, please get up, please, please, please get up. Don't be dead, Joel, is the implication based on her performance. When Ashley Johnson is saying it, she's not saying it, please, please, please don't be dead, Joel, get up. She's saying, Joel, we have to get through this. Get up. And she knows that it can't happen. But it's this thing about like, Joel, be a fucking man and get up. You know what I mean? Like, there is a different implication to the way the performance is that I really appreciate about the game, because it shows that like, despite all the weirdness between Joel and Ellie that is unspoken and at the beginning of that game, she still expects him to like, you need to get the job done and you need to finish this. Versus Bella Ramsey, it's just like, oh no, you're dead, I'm sad, get up, please. Why don't you get up?
I think this is the perfect thing that I think this is why, like, there's always justification to have a different version of something, right? Specifically with different actors and stuff like that. Because I think the Bella Ramsey one is much more like, you're my dad, we haven't fixed this, this is it, please stand up, which is why she's more crying on that kind of level and thing like that. And again, I think a conversation about which of those interpretations is better, I think that's more meat and potato. That's not a meat and potatoes argument. That's more of like the seasoning that you have on top of the core storytelling stuff.
For me, it's... I prefer it less because I think it's just more straightforward and less interesting. But like at the end of the day, like this is just a choice an actor made.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? And I think the thing that they do also is to have her not be knocked out immediately after the Abby and her friends leave. And she is ribs broken, unable to move. And then she like runs over to him and has that scene where she's literally like, not only pulling the thing out of his neck and hugging him and holding him, like that's a moment that the game didn't hit in that same way. The game felt a lot more to me that Joel's dead. It's shocking. He's dead. You should be sad. He's dead. This one, it's like, look at how it hurt Ellie. in that moment.
Do you not remember in the game when she wakes up though, and she sees him, and she's like, she's just on the floor. She's just like crying, looking at him.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, but like in to that, me, in that's that a immediate similar thing moment, where
it's like bringing it over and having her literally holding his body that she just saw do, literally pulling the thing out of his neck, trying to be like, no, you're not, like, please, please, anything. Are you, are this is not real. And just having that moment, that camera shot as that song's playing on top of her. Like, to me, that moment, and again, talking about like directing of a scene and stuff like that, I think it hits that a lot better without her cutting away, because in the game, the implication is if they didn't kick her like that or knock her out, she'd go after them because she'd kill them. In this one, she could have, you know, crawled after them, but she didn't. She went to Joel, because it wasn't that he was there still. It was that she needed to go to him. And I like that choice a lot. And I think they did, like, that was such an affecting scene. And the thing I loved what they did, they could have ended it there, but they didn't.
Eesh. Okay, go on.
Because it's part of that, like, just the emotional roller coaster of it, that I think it's almost more manipulative to have ended it there and then gone to the next thing, instead of like that, like, slow kind of like resolution to it. The things are happening, they're dragging the body, all that kind of stuff. Like, it just created this, like, emotionally I was able to kind of decompress a little bit as the episode was going on, when it got back to like seeing that last shot of like being like, oh fuck, it's like I thought it was just done in a way that was really affecting, with the song playing on top of that. You see the characters moving on to their different ways. And again, that's more of like a flavoring, seasoning, how they do it, rather than like a bigger meat and potatoes change and everything like that. But like, I really, there's so much that they did in that last part, from when Abby falls down the mountain to starts the horde, to when she meets Joel. Oh, the fence scene I thought was way better in the show. I felt way more claustrophobic tight in the show. Cool. Then when she meets Joel, you didn't have the time for her to like work with him quite the same way, just because of like the sense of the show and stuff like that. But it also, like, one of the things that people bitch about was him saying his name, obviously, but that's not the thing that always gets me. It gets me when both him and Tommy go to their place for getting any kind of safety. But in this one, the fact that they added the stuff happening in Jackson gave Joel a much more urgency to go against his best instincts and like go with them at that point. And even when he was there at first, trying to do the radio thing kind of gave him, had more stakes in that moment to have it like rushed a little bit. And like, I think they made some like interesting choices in that moment. Are they better? I don't know if they're necessarily better, but like, I think they make sense, and I think they all kind of built. I even liked when they were being chased by the horde, and then the horde splits off at that one point into the two hordes. That was pretty cool. Because remember in the game, let's talk about nitpicking the game, when Abby and Joel and Tommy are like running back on horseback, like, and then all the wolves open up the gate, and they like go through the gate, and then they like kill all the things there. Like, that there was like a transitional thing there that was like, were they just waiting with that gate open as this horde was happening for Abby to come back? How would they know those people on horseback are good? Like, I don't know. There was just a few of those things that were just kind of like, as that like scene was happening, it was just like, but I don't know. I think there, what I was first upset about with the kissing clickers, I think they are doing interesting stuff with the mind, the hive mind of this, like,
with the things
horde
in the roots and the,
and I think
the
they're doing,
I think that's interesting where that's going.
I think they're going, they're realizing that thing that they started that I thought was kind of like afterthought in the first season. They're kind of like making that make a little bit more sense in a cool way. I don't know. I think overall, like, the episode in terms of like its action and stuff like that, I thought was pretty good. I thought the pacing of the episode was fantastic. You never got to linger too much on one specific character until that end part happened. And then you kind of controlled Abby as the character in that moment, and you kind of stuck with her for a lot of it. But yeah, I think they made choices, and I think the choices paid off in this episode more so than episode one.
Interesting. To me, my problem is, it feels like Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann look at The Last of Us 2 like it's something that needs to be fixed. And I fundamentally disagree with that as a concept. Because like, you know, you mentioned like people are upset about like, oh, Joel, like, why does he tell everyone his name? That's so stupid. Like people, like that's like such like a CinemaSins nitpick that people have. Right. But like, he just does. You know what I mean? Like,
doesn't Tommy say this is Joel? He says that in the room, but
he says, I'm Tommy. And he's like, and that's my brother. And he's like, I'm Joel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also Abby does have the realization because he's like, he saves her. And then he does tell his name to her. He's like, I'm Joel. This is Tommy. And then she has that moment where she's like, come back to my friends. They're in the lodge. And what I like about that in the game is that you don't know why. And replaying it, it's interesting. Like, that's what I think is really cool about replaying it is like, there's all of these moments where you go like, oh,
yeah. I literally replayed the first chapter after I beat the game just to kind of like see it with a different context and lens.
Yes. But like for me in the show, there is no, like, it's just explicitly, you know why. You know exactly why. You know what I mean? And like, so like any sense of mystery or questions about who this character is and what she wants, I think is just gone because they have stated her motivation twice at that point. And then like they make it so clear. But then they also, again, they try and fix it, right? By Joel doesn't tell her his name. Dina says his name like 9 times in a row. And like, to me, it's like, I don't think that's a problem with the original game. With him, like, why does he tell them his name? Because one, he's in like a crazy stressful situation. 2, he's like greeting these people. 3, like, he's been a dad exclusively for 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, people, I don't know, people change. I don't look at that as some like big gotcha about like, how did this guy like fuck up like this? Like, I don't think that like just saying his name is some big fuck up and some big oversight and some big like character like assassination moment, you know what I mean? And but the game, the show feels like it is trying to say like, there are all these problems with the original Last of Us 2 that we're trying to fix by making it make more sense. And it's like, I don't think that it needs to be fixed in this way, and I find it to be a weird way to engage with art. It's like the same thing about like George Lucas thinks that the original Star Wars movies need to be fixed. And it's like, they don't. You made good films. That, why would you need to fix them based on, you know what I mean? Like I think it does a disservice to art to try and fix it.
I think
revising.
I think those things that you're talking about, those are slight changes versus fixing. Fixing would be having Joel not die there, or setting up the season so like he died later. Or if we're really talking about fixing, I mean, that controlling Abby moment seems to be the thing that they seem to be fixing, but I don't think it's to correct the sins of the game. I think it's to adapt the game to a television show. And I think a lot of these changes are more about adaptation to a different medium rather than we've made a mistake with The Last of Us. And even like Craig Mazin was talking about when Eugene was brought up, that Eugene was an opportunity to expand something that wasn't in the initial game. There was an opportunity to expand that moment. Or he was talking about something where it was an opportunity to expand something that wasn't quite like said all the way in the game, which also brings in that fair point about, your father and I fought with each other in the Clone Wars type of mentality, where you have these like hanging threads that create mystery that you then start to answer when they don't necessarily need to be answered.
Here's the thing. Like, okay, sure. Eugene is he was a character that you never see in the game. Yeah. That might be a cool place to explore things. Go ahead. Do that. Like, I think that's how you get the long, long times, by saying like, here's something that, you know, maybe we want to explore a little bit further. But like, that's what adaptation is, right? But to me, like, I don't think it makes for a better narrative to present the information in this way, with like the way Abby is so explicitly like explained. Like, I just don't think that like it adds anything. I think it takes away from what the narrative is and what the narrative is doing. Maybe it will come together at the end and it will turn out that, oh, all of that works 100%. But like for me watching these episodes week to week, and like, I hope you understand too, like I'm trying to watch these with like an open mind, you know, like I texted this to you. Like, I think Bella Ramsey's better in this episode than she is in fucking the entire first season of the show. And even the last episode, like, I think she's just better. I think her performance is just more consistent and better in this. I am finding things that I like about this, and I don't like hate it to death. And I'm happy for the people who are watching this. Like, my friend Dave is like texting me, like, ask me all these questions about the game and all that stuff. And like, I'm happy that this exists for people to be able to engage with, but like, it is like so tough for me to see something that I think is told so well, and for it to be for people to try and recreate it without understanding, in my opinion, any of the things that make that thing work. And yes, adapt, please adapt and change things for television. I think we've seen that they can do that again. I think the first episode of the first season is an incredible adaptation of that. The intro of that game, it's an incredible adaptation. And the long, long time, that's an incredible adaptation, because it takes stuff and it says, okay, this works. This is how it works in the game. How can we do this differently in a way that sort of tells this same story, but maybe feels a little bit different, or, you know, it is adapted for television. Whereas the way that it is portrayed in this season, and in my opinion, the second two thirds of that first season, is they just said like, well, we're just going to do it exactly the same thing, and just hope that it translates the exact same way by making little changes to, again, like, fix problems with that, the text. But
I still think like part of the thing here is the argument that it's done better in the game. That's not necessarily incorrect, because there are things that I think the game does, like it's the video game, right? But you can't just like copy and paste the game and put it on like on a television's screen in the same way, because they're two different formats. And I think certainly Naughty Dog's problem is that obviously they have elevated the format of video games in terms of their storytelling to be more cinematic in nature, but that still doesn't mean that you can just take that story or the way that story is told and bring it to like a television show while still hitting those same exact beats.
I agree.
So like, it's hard, because I still don't like know like it, like what's the answer to do it shot for shot or to do it completely different, because I don't think either of those. But do you think that
they're doing it completely different?
No.
They are so committed to doing so many of these elements shot for shot. But it's exactly as you said, you can't just take something from one medium and put it directly into another and have it like totally work 100%. So they're so committed to doing that, and it doesn't work. And then when they do change stuff, it's always like little things that are in service of nothing, you know, like long, long time. That's a great adaptation. It's a great way of saying like, we are going to put this on television in a different way. But this is like, we're going to do shot for shot. It's going to be almost the exact same, but the changes we are going to make are not going to be in service of anything.
But I would argue that something like Long, Long Time is more than just like an adaptation. That's a complete reimagining. And
an adaptation is.
I think if you are, but adapting from a video game to the screen versus like adapting, like I think The Last of Us video game would have been better with a long, long time in it.
Probably, but like, how do you do that? Because it's a video game, right?
Right. Like, and which is like, it's an opportunity to change that, not because you're just like doing it because it works in this medium for the screen better. I'm not saying that they should do a shot for shot. I'm not saying they should do it completely different. They have to weave those two things together to get those iconic shots and stuff in there like they're doing. But while changing, adapting parts of the story to make it something that can fit in a format, like, I know TV shows are generally better than movies in terms of like their linearity, but like a TV show, you have to have a beginning to an episode. You have to have an end to the episode. You have to have a certain amount of episodes for your season, depending on what you're given in terms of your budget and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And here's one of the things, like the Jackson battle, that was probably a very high budget scene.
it was just like a, well, we have to fill this time.
I don't know if it was filling the time, because I think it does create that dual mode of action. I think it allows you to get connected to Tommy and show that he's more of a capable kind of person.
Sure,
establish
sure.
his relationship a little bit more. But also I think it creates a bigger world of tension that's going on, because now they're back. They're destroyed physically. Jackson's not what it was anymore. And yeah. Joel's dead now. One of the main architects is dead now. I think it kind of creates this scope, and I think ultimately created a cooler back and forth plane of action between like what was happening in Jackson, what was happening with Abby, and then what was happening with Ellie and stuff. I think it like kind of created this thing, and like you couldn't have the fight for Jackson in that game in the same way.
No,
like that's something that, you know, you change and adapt the story to make that work for a different medium and stuff like that.
But that's what I appreciate about this episode too, is like, cause I worry that you hear me that I'm saying like, it has to be exactly like that, but the game. And like, I don't believe that. I think if you're going to do this, you need to adapt it for television in a way that is like works for the medium. And it's exactly what you said, like it works as a good parallel for the action of like, okay, what is happening down there? It adds this tension of like, hey, shit's fucking bad everywhere. Right. Like it adds this, like, this stress for Joel and all that, but it to me it just doesn't really go anywhere, because then we just end up at the exact same place having characters say like almost the exact same lines but like rewritten to be a little bit worse and like all of this stuff. Like I like the Jackson stuff. I think it's fine enough, and I think it does do exactly what you say, where it sets up an interesting like bit of like oh, like they are not as secure as they thought they were. I think that's really interesting.
And also the making the Cordyceps smart has been something that they've been like hitting on a little bit more of this. So I'm interested to see where that kind of develops, specifically in the second half of the game, where they become such a less, they're there, like they're but they're like not the main thing that's happening. It's a lot more people versus people and stuff like that. I don't know. I guess the ultimate thing that, like, I don't know how you do it different than what they're doing, because I am getting enough new in this story and enough different choices with, while maintaining shots and moments that you're expecting to see. So the whole Abby Joel scene in both the video game and that, there are enough big changes in there between those two scenes. And again, I think there's like one of the coolest parts in the game is when you hear Joel's name and all the people in the room kind of have that like turnaround effect and stuff like that.
What the fuck? Yeah.
Which is a cool thing, because like we're, as the viewer, still not knowing that. Yes. Isn't it, if that was the case though, we already know that. Is that scene going to be the same? Should it be shot in a way like that in order to do it? I don't know. And I don't know. I think they are making choices, and I think the choices are different. Are they all the right choices? No, I don't think so. But like, if you take the new things and put it to the video game, you would have to also like make choices with those choices when you're trying to make like the part two redux or whatever the hell they're going to do eventually when they add other stuff to that, and like DLCs and stuff like that. I honestly don't know how it could be done differently. And I think a lot of the quality of like the acting and the general like production budget for this is like, it's the top of what you can do. Like, I don't see like another show or even another showrunner necessarily doing it better. Like I guess I don't know what an ideal Last of Us would look like.
I understand what you mean. I'm not a screenwriter, so I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I understand that that's a frustrating answer from me, right? About like, well, what would you do? And I'm like, well, I don't make fucking TV, so I don't know. I would just say go farther with changing this and adapting this into something that is completely different. And I'd say push it even farther away from the things that you know and the things that you expect. And of course, some things are going to be the same, right? But like, I would just say, go even further with it. To make it so that it is not just recreating scenes from the game sort of shot for shot. And that's where I'm.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it is just redoing scenes from the game shot for shot. They have those moments in there, but
I would say that like, you should either, I think that the way that this show is written is trying to do something a little bit different in the way it's presenting its information. But I think that the way it's presenting its information is the change is going from saying like, there's a lot of mystery and subtext and questions in the air about what's going on with everyone. And instead of doing that, they're like, we're just going to tell it extremely simply. Again, you did mention and bring up the point, and this is true, but like, well, we don't know exactly what happened with Joel and Ellie. Like, yeah, I guess. But like, we don't feel like, to me, there's no, that's such a, it feels like it doesn't even matter because the characters don't think it matters. Right. Like, because we just know that it's awkward and we don't know why, but like, we don't feel like Ellie is upset about it that much or that Joel is upset about it other than just like explicitly stating like, I'm upset about this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so like his death for her, you pointed out, like, it feels like a daughter seeing her dad get killed. And that's true. Right. But it doesn't feel like there's anything more to it. Whereas in the game, there is more to it and you can see that there's more to it and you don't know why. And you find out later, but it doesn't, like, it's not explicitly stated and it's not as straightforward as it is in something like the show. And so I would say go even further then and change the dynamic or change something big. I don't know. Like, I would just say go further with, if you're going to deviate, don't just deviate in a way that just makes it simpler. Deviate in a way that makes it interesting.
Yeah, but my last kind of just thought on this is that,
yeah,
I don't think Claire will ever play the video game.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think she'll ever want to watch me play the video game.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just Claire who would say that. I think that's something that watching the show, right?
Yeah.
So for me, if the idea is to create something that deviates so much from the source material that they're making different choices on a lot more of these things, that takes that original story away. And I think one of the things that for me as a fan that I really enjoyed a long, long time was because I had all these expectations about what I was going to be seeing. And then that happened. Yeah. And it kind of created this moment where anything could happen. And even if the rest of the story was still something that was pretty much similar to that, it made me open to the fact that at any moment there could be an episode or something that is going to have an emotional impact that's going to service me, the fan who knows what's happening, as well as the person sitting next to me who doesn't know what's happening. And like, for someone who loves the story of The Last of Us, I want everyone to know that game. I was so excited for Claire to watch season 1, episode 1.
Yeah.
Like, that was like such an exciting thing for me. And then when my mom's talking about it, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. Right. Like, you know, this is happening, stuff like that.
I think a good example of what I'm talking about that is not as drastic as Long, Long Time, because that obviously is like a huge change.
That's like the one. Yeah.
Right. The dynamic between, I'm forgetting their names. Who are the guys they meet in Pittsburgh, or is it Cleveland? They go to a lot of cities. How they change them to be deaf in the show.
I love that.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's an incredible, because what does that do? It adds to the themes, right? It adds something. It's an interpretation. It says, okay, well, you know, it could just be straightforward. I think Sam is one of the characters. I think it's the kid. By having him be deaf, it adds to the themes of like people needing people, right? And the ideas of like, we have to survive together by relying on each other. And when that gets pushed to the limits, what does that look like? That's awesome. And that is something that is not in the game at all. Their relationship, those two brothers, is like, they're good characters. They're well acted. They're well written enough, but like, they're kind of like, other than just like them being well acted, they're kind of forgettable, right? Like they don't have much like real impact on the story that much. Like, there's some subtext stuff with Ellie wanting to talk about their deaths and stuff like that Joel doesn't want to deal with. But like, for the most part, like, I think that adding that interesting dynamic changes those characters for a way that adds to the themes of the show and makes for a better, more like stronger story without just telling the same story beat for beat, word for word, you know?
But,
and so like, that is the kind of thing that I'm wanting out of season two is like, if you're going to change things and you're going to change how this is presented, then do it in a way that adds something or like says something. Don't just do it just to do it, you know?
But like when I, so when I got hired to teach, they told me, because I took over the room of someone who's been there for a long time and a lot of clout in the building or whatever, they said, you got to change your room arrangement. And I was like, why? Yeah. And they're like, you just have to, it has to be different. And I was like, but like, it makes sense. And they're like, you have to change the room arrangement. But like, why?
I'm not saying to change it to change it. I'm saying adapt it. I'm saying, because they're already changing it. And the question is, okay, well, it, like, that's what it feels like, right? To me, I'm like, well, why would you change these things in this way? And it's like, well, because we're adapting for television. Okay, but like, what if you, like, but you're changing it in a way that's less interesting. So why not change it in a way that is more interesting or like rewrite things to be a little bit different? You know what I mean? And it doesn't mean different for different sake, but like, is there not another more interesting way to do this? If you're not going to tell it exactly the way the game is, great, don't do that. But then make the changes be in service of something or have that be about something. For example, the him being in therapy. Great. Awesome. That is exactly what you said, right? Like before about how he is lying in therapy. So that, what does that tell? It tells us something about Joel, right? That's not in the game, but it does tell us something about Joel. That's great. Tell us more things about these characters based on their relationships or based on the things that happen in the show. It doesn't need to be one-to-one to the game, but it shouldn't be. But like, go further with it and make this into a more interesting character thing than just having it be told like the lowest common denominator, like here are who these characters are and here's what's going on with them.
I still think that is something that is in the process of happening without having seen the rest of it, because I think maybe the idea of developing Abby early is in service, or giving her motivations there is in service of developing that character. And I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, in each episode, there is enough, like, each episode does have different changes to it. They don't always necessarily land the right way. There are some that, you know, are, I think are still clearly better in the video game. Like, I do like Abby not knowing who she is at first. I think that's a good way to start the game. But again, in service of where we got in the second episode, like they're making those adaptations to that character arc for what reasons? Again, I still don't know what those reasons are with it. But like, I think part of it is they are making choices, but at a certain point, when are we going to bring up the ship of Sisyphus again, or the ship of
Theseus
again? When, how much do you change before it completely changes what, like if Sam and David, what is his name? Sam and whatever.
David, I thought it was David too, but it's not.
I know. If
David
it was
the cannibal,
the cannibal
guy.
Person, if that was a dog, like that would be different.
Yeah, I'm not saying make him a dog.
I know. But like that changes it, but like, I don't know if that's the right choice. But even with the David part, adding Troy Baker in there kind of had this extra voice of morality dissenting against David that wasn't there before, that they added in to just kind of create a separate kind of like internal conflict and stuff like that. So, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is they are doing this. I just don't know how much they can do like without completely changing the original story, which I still hope people can witness and experience.
Yeah. I knew I was going to hate this. I knew. And it was just based on like the vibe of how they talked about the last season and like the way that all of that was portrayed. I think that some of the things they added, I really liked. I really liked the Sam and not David. I was hoping that I would just say it and it would just Kyle. No,
Henry.
It's Miles. Henry. It's Miles Morales, by the way. That was, I believe, his first gaming role.
Oh.
I'm forgetting his name. It's like D something. I like some of those changes because I think it adds like themes and it adds meaning, you know. But to me, simply recounting the plot of the game to the camera so that we're all on the same page about who Abby is, so that per Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann's explicit intention at the end of the episode, like, they want you to sympathize with her and you, they want you to view her as an anti-hero. And they are like, and if you notice that that's kind of who Ellie is, like, yeah, that's intentional. Like, I know, but why do you need to spoon feed me that? Why do you need to force feed me that? Why can't you just like let people come to those conclusions on their own through implication and through just like letting you sit with some of those moments instead of having to so explicitly just like say exactly who everyone is and all that? It just feels bad to me.
But you know what doesn't feel bad to me? If only we're to lose.
Can Pedro Pascal sing?
He better fucking be. I think so.
If they don't do that scene, will you agree with me that this is all terrible?
If I have a version of that song that Pedro Pascal sings, I don't think if I don't have that, it's going to make the season bad. But if I do have that, it's going to significantly improve the quality of my life and decrease the quality of everyone's life around me who can hear music I listen to.
I was thinking that maybe because of the whole, I believe now that we're past it, I don't think they're going to do it, or they're going to change the song. And if they change the song, I think he's going to sing Long, Long Time from the episode Long, Long Time by Linda Ronstadt.
They named these two episodes.
What's that?
They named these two episodes.
They did.
Songs.
They did.
What if next episode is called Take On Me?
I mean, she's going to sing it. Of course she's going to sing it, right?
And if she doesn't, going to riot.
Maybe she for sure will sing it. Maybe that's the song that Joel plays for her.
That wouldn't make any sense.
That's less interesting. Yeah. Just like thematically, just whatever. All right, that's good. It's got to be it. We debated this long enough. Maybe the next episode will be 10 out of 10 perfect and I'll love it.
I have semi doubt coming off of that last one there. It's going to be better.
I'm thinking about like, what would this show have to do to like turn it around for me? And like, I literally don't know.
The Rat King comes out and says, "Hello, Abby. How are you doing?" And he starts doing a little dance and puts the hat.
See, that's interesting. At the very least, I'm like, I haven't seen that. This is something I don't know where it's going. Yeah. Can I say the girl who plays Nora, who's the main character in the next Naughty Dog game? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
She's so fucking good in this show, and she has no lines. She's just standing there making a face. She's looking all mad. I'm like, yeah, you look great.
I can't wait.
Her as Abby.
Oh, dude. How are they going to film?
She was great in the game.
How are they going to film that scene?
What do you mean, how are they going to film that scene?
When you're like,
shot for shot, but worse.
Well, you can't, because she's going to be standing there. It's probably going to be from that perspective. And you have to press button.
X to have her, to get her psyched up to fucking kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. They're probably going to do it shot for shot with a performance that I like less. And it's probably going to be really well lit out. Probably not even going to go in the basement. It's probably going to just be like outside, beautiful day.
Dude, you're reacting to everything wrong with Game of Thrones, because they did the opposite thing. And there was like the big battle for Winterfell, which is like one of the climactic battles of it. And it was so dark. All you could see were dark shapes on it. So I think right now they're like, okay, it's a snowstorm, but like, how light is snow? We're just going to make the white everywhere.
Can I be a nitpicky asshole for 1 second?
Yes.
I promise that this is not why I dislike this show, but it is one of the things that I noticed, is where it's just like, there's no consistency to what this snowstorm is like. They're like outside and it's a beautiful day out. And then it cuts to them. And they're like, the snowstorm's getting worse. And it's like all black. You can't see anything. And then it cuts to like Abby and she's like running down the hill and it's like beautiful out. It's like, whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares? I'm an adult. I can piece that together, but it was something that I did notice. So. Or when Abby, Dina, and Joel got into the hut or to the lodge, They did not look like they were out in the freezing cold. They looked like they had done several takes of it. I don't care. That's not an, that doesn't matter to me. But I did notice it. Or there was a shot where Ellie is on her horse when she's looking for them. And you can see in the snow that they had done several takes of it because the snow was all torn up from the horse. It doesn't matter, but I noticed. We'll catch you next week. Maybe I'll love it. Maybe I'll love it. Bye.
Bye.